praise you for your living word. Praise the Lord. What else can we say this morning? We have entered into his rest. Today is the seventh day of the conference. The seventh day, indeed. And some ask me, why is the outline for point 12 so short for today? And some others said, it's Sabbath. What do you expect? What do you want to do? I agree to that. I think after 6 days of fellowship and so much enjoyment, we do not want to work, but rather much reading and seeking the Lord, enjoyment, joy, and experiences. It's good when the Lord brings us into the Sabbath rest. Lord Jesus, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Genesis 2, verse 1. Isn't that good? And all of them, the heavens and earth and all the host of them were finished. And God, on the seventh day, ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a ending. What a completion. Lord Jesus. God ended his work on the seventh day. When we see that, then we really have to thank the Lord. These days, this whole week, we have seen so much on what God has done. Did not God invest so much? Did he not thought of everything which has to be done? God indeed completely accomplished his work. What God has started, he will complete it. The first meeting we read, in the beginning, God created. God was the beginning. And here it says, and God ended his work. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And here we see that God is also our end. Isn't that wonderful? God starts with his work. What he has started, he also will bring it to the end, to the goal. We shouldn't think that God is somehow doing it halfway and stops. But God brings it to the goal. And whatever he has done, indeed he has forgotten nothing, nothing has been forgotten what should be done. In order to bring us all to the goal, he has thought of everything. And now, on the seventh day, God entered into the rest. He rested from his work. Therefore, we too have to acknowledge that in this rest which God has prepared, we should also enter into this rest. Why? Because the last days which we have seen, God in Christ has created all things. Colossians tells us, in Christ are all things created in heavens and also on the earth. all power and principality. Everything is in Him and created by Him. And He is before everything, and everything is in Christ. That was God's work. God's work is that He has created all things in Christ. Our separation on the first day, the reality of that is Christ. When God said, "Let there be light," this light is Christ. Then He also showed us so much. Life grew. How life grew, He showed us grass, we saw the herbs, we saw the trees. All this life was created in Christ. He made it in Christ. We saw the heavens, the light. The lights. We saw so many things. We saw the worms, the creeping things. What else did we see? The animals, the birds, the cattle, everything. We entered into the sacrifices, offerings. Who is this offering? Did not God complete everything in Christ? Is Christ not your burnt offering? Is He not your meal offering? Do you not do so many things in Christ? Tell me, what did God forget, which He should have done? What is still missing? What is the lack? Did God not prepare everything in Christ? Did He not for every single need brought forth something? And did not God for His own purpose prepare everything which He needs in order to execute and fulfill His plan? My goodness, if you were to look at all the 6 days, including all these sacrifices, then we have to confess in Christ it's all things. What else which you need which is not in Christ? What did God forget? What did He forget? Consider it. George, what else did God forget? In Christ, God prepared everything. The fulfillment of every picture which you have seen is in Christ. Every plant, every living being, living thing, all the sacrifices reveal us the richness of Christ. In Christ is everything available. Nothing has been taken out. Wow. What a Christ have we. No wonder Paul said this is the unsearchable riches. Unsearchable riches. And then, after God has created all things in Christ, and He has prepared everything that you need, which we need today for the completion, after He has done all these things, He gave you this Christ. Yes, this Christ, which everything has been created, He is in you, the hope of glory. What else is missing? What else do you need? Everything has been created. And now we see all things, what things are created in Christ have been given into your spirit. What else do you lack? Did God forget something that He has not given it into your spirit? Sometimes we live as if God hasn't prepared so many things. But everything, all things were created through Him and for Him, and all things consist in Him. And I tell you this morning, this is the true Sabbath rest. God wants, He wants that all the riches we have seen in Christ, He wants us to enter into the reality. Yes, this is the point here. If you want to enter into the Sabbath, and we do need to do that on the seventh day, then it says here that you have to enter into every enjoyment of Christ. Because in Christ, you have everything. You just need to enter in whatever God has prepared to lay hold of it. Don't you want to enter into the Sabbath rest? Some people think that Sabbath is a day. On Saturday, we are not allowed to work. Oh, woe to you if you work on Saturday. Then you are not spiritual. Unfortunately, they have overseen this. They have overlooked this point that Christ is our Sabbath. If you are in Christ, then you are in Sabbath. And if you are not in this Christ, and if you do not experience all these things point by point in Christ, then you have no rest. Then there will be no true rest. The true Sabbath rest is when we experience Christ in all His riches. Enjoy it piece by piece, bit by bit. Let us be diligent to enter into the rest. Let's read Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, Paul spoke about the Sabbath rest. Verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 4, Since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Do you want to be one who seems to come short of the Sabbath rest? After we have gone through the riches of Christ point by point, what kind of excuse do you have to fall short of it? Do you want to be one who seems to have come short of it? God has prepared everything. Everything is there. He has put everything in Christ, and He has revealed this Christ to you, and now place Him into you as the Spirit, and now He dwells in you. What else do you want? Why would you then come short of it? For indeed the gospel was preached to us. How many good news has the Lord preached to you? Tell me. How many hours? How many hours did you endure in order to pay attention, to listen to this good news? The good news, the gospel, was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Can you imagine that? Is the word helping you, which you have heard these days? I do not ask if we know, but if it has helped you. There's a difference. Does the word work in you? Is there a decision in your heart that you want to experience all this? Do you not tell the Lord, I will not let you go until I experience you as my burnt offering? Do you do that? Or do you want to neglect it? We have a wonderful food here. Do you neglect it or do you want to take hold of it? Here it says, most of them, it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith in those who heard it. Who in this conference is a hearer? Put up your hand. Are you a hearer? Do you hear the word of God? Do not think that the hearers can be passive. Only the one standing in front is active. The hearers here, they have to mix the word with faith. If we don't apply our faith and to experience these words, then the words will not help you. And the result will be that you cannot enter into the rest. If we do not apply the faith which God has given me in order to experience the reality of Christ, you will not enter into the Sabbath rest. And disbelief blocks the way to life. It blocks off the way to life for those. Verse 3, for we who have believed, are we those? We are those who have believed. Do you believe? Or have you not? Or have you just listened to a good word, a good interpretation? Grain offering, now I know what it means. It's good that you know what it means. Praise the Lord. It's good. But I do not want to know what it means in the first place. Rather, I want to ask, have you entered into this reality? Or at least, have you have this desire to enter it? Are you one of them who has believed? If yes, then take the word and say, Amen. Lord, this is the word. I lay hold of it. And those are the ones who believe. What happened to them? They enter that rest in verse 3. They do enter the rest. Do you want to enter into that rest? Amen. I have to tell you, you have to believe. Then you have to exercise your faith. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, God was not happy. Do you know why he was not happy? Because God has prepared everything in a wonderful way. He fulfilled point by point. And the people did not want to believe. They neglected, they rejected him and did not claim it. What would you do if you are a God? Despised. Oh, no problem. Hallelujah. Will you do that? So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is a serious word. They shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, tell me seriously, honestly, isn't all these things done? And all things done before the foundation of the from the foundation of the world. These days, we spoke about the foundation of the world. Everything is finished. What excuse, what else? What kind of excuse do you have right now? Paul has a proof here. Although the works were finished, in the eyes of God, everything has been completed, ended. God has done everything until to even Christ and the church. In his point, his viewpoint, it has been completed. But you and I, we have to enter into it. It's there, but the question is, do you enter into it? The question is not, oh, it's not there. Pity. No, the works were finished, but you are not in it. And that's pity. For he has spoken in a certain day, of the seventh day in this way. Now we know. In a certain place, Paul said, where it is? It is in Genesis. And in that certain place, on the seventh day, in this way, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. This verse proves to us what is the true Sabbath rest. Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus. And what is this? And again at this place, they shall not enter my rest. Here Paul is speaking about the Sabbath rest. And he connects it, the Sabbath rest with a good land in the Old Testament. Paul said the good land, the sons of Israel stood at that time with Moses, this good land is the Sabbath rest at that time in the Old Covenant. We know the story. We have to go back quickly to that portion in order to understand what Paul is talking about. Back then, the children of Israel stood before the good land. They stood in front of the good land. Just like us today, we are all standing there, the riches which we have enjoyed. They stand there. They stood there. And Moses said, now I send some spies into the good land to spy out the land. 12 spies. Go in and look how the land is, if it's really so good, just as what God has promised us, or not. And they went in. And after some time, they came back to Moses and to the rest of the people who waited outside of the good land. And what happened? There, not everyone was happy. From these 12 spies, 10 had fear. They feared because in this good land they saw some giants who were walking around, giants. Okay. Joshua and Caleb, these two, they did not see the giants, but they saw toast bread. Oh, wonderful. Hallelujah. We have something to eat. Some of them saw the giants and the other two saw breads, buns, rolls. What do you see? When you go back, you will think, now I'm going back. Lord Jesus, in my locality, what will be waiting for me? You have the choice, giants or rolls. What did Joseph and Caleb say? They say that these are bread for our stomach. Forget it. Forget them. Forget the giants. God has promised us this land. Numbers 14. And this is the portion, this section where Paul was referring to in Hebrews. Let's see what Joseph and Caleb, Joshua and Caleb say about the good land. Bishop Joshua and Caleb said that the land that they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land, a very, 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 very good land. Are you sure about the giants? Have you not seen them? That's Numbers 14, verse 7. You know, for Joshua and Caleb, the giants are nothing, but the land is exceedingly good. And verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. The Lord has given and promised us this land, and yet you will not take it just because of some giants. Forget about the giants. Forget and eat. It rhymes in German. This picture, brothers and sisters, is not a story, but it's our experience. We can prove it. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Have you not enjoyed the overflowing in this conference? Did not milk and honey flow out? Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus, but the problem was the rest of these people, they did not believe in God, unfortunately. God was not happier about it. He prepared everything, and the people just did not believe in it. And I've read a verse which touched me. In verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me? How long will we not believe?" We speak from Christ and the church, but we do not want to believe. We always have an excuse. We always think, it doesn't work with me. I'm too weak. I am too small.
Oh,
we are so little, so few of us. I cannot do it. I cannot make it. Oh, I cannot make it. It's so difficult. The Lord will say, "How long? How long will you not believe in me?" You have no excuse here. You have no excuse. The Lord will say, "How long will you reject me? How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I performed among them?" Was not so good. God really had this feeling because he really wants that the people enjoy this good land, but they think that they are too weak. They have fear for the giants. Who's bigger, giants or the Lord? Did not the Lord, do we not share this days that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world? You still think that the giants are bigger than the Lord? Show me one giant who is bigger than the Lord. If you find one, come and tell it to me. I will want to take a look to see if it really is true. We will take a look. But I assume that you will not find one, because the Lord is greater, and in him all things are created. This Christ now dwells in you. He is in you. Please tell not, say not that you cannot make it. This is disbelief. Disbelief. If you say that you are too weak and it doesn't work, oh, my situation is too difficult. My character, my personality is too difficult. I hopeless. It doesn't work. I tried. It doesn't work. No. This is disbelief. If you think in such a way and do such a way, you neglect, reject the Lord. Because we have seen that in Christ, everything is there, whatever that you need. What is still lacking? What is still missing? What else do you need? It's all in Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus. I do not know how I can tell it to you.
Okay.
What else did the Lord say? And then Moses prayed for forgiveness because the people were so much full of disbelief. And the Lord said, "Oh, please forgive them. If you were to kill them all, what will the Egyptians say?" Then the Lord said, okay, fine.
Amen.
You're right. In verse 20. Then the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word." But don't think that it was. You think, praise the Lord. The Lord has forgiven. Nice. Now I can continue on as I am.
Nope.
Here it says, "But truly as I live," in verse 21, "all the earth shall feel the glory of the Lord." all this man who have seen my glory and signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me through the tests now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land. That's in verse 23. And that's the quote here from Paul. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers. All who rejected me shall not, nor shall any of them who rejected me see it. Don't think it's, you will see it just like that. No, they shall not see it. But in verse 24, brothers and sisters, there's a but here. This but we have to enjoy. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. What kind of spirit have we received? The spirit from Caleb. This spirit is the spirit of faith. This is an exceeding excellent spirit, and the spirit is in you. Do not think that you have a different spirit. You have received a different spirit. Oh, you may, if you say that my faith is not that big, I cannot do it, but he can. I not. He enters, but for me it's too difficult. This is disbelief. It's not true, because Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, for because we have believed, we have the same spirit of faith. We all have the same spirit of faith. You have the spirit of faith. He's there. You cannot say, I cannot make it, I'm too weak. You cannot say it any longer. We all have the same spirit of faith. Praise the Lord for the spirit of faith. All that we have received, when we lay hold of that in faith, then you will enter into the rest. You will enter into the rest. But if you are an unbeliever and you think, oh, only those group, only George can do it, and maybe the Johannes, and maybe Stefan can do it, but me, it's difficult. There's no such thing. No. We have the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith in you. He will tell you, I can do all things in the one who strengthens me. Paul did not say, I can do nothing. Rather, he exercised spirit of faith. Exercise the spirit of faith. Gain it, claim it, lay hold of it, and apply it to all that we have heard. Then you can enter into the rest. And another point I want to mention before we start to have testimonies. On one hand, it's for us. The experiences of Christ is for us. The true rest. He is our true rest. When we enjoy Christ and enter into the Spirit, enter in by the Spirit of faith, then we will experience Christ in all His riches point by point. This is one fulfillment of the Sabbath rest, Christ. Our Sabbath. You have to enter into it. I say it again, enter into the rest, enter into the sacrifices. When you go back home, please go into the Sabbath, into the sacrifices. Take the words, enter into them, and let them bring you into the experiences by the spirit of faith. It's not difficult, it's not impossible. It is easy because we have the spirit of faith. Okay, take it. And apply it. Say to the Spirit, say to the Lord, I want to experience. That is the spirit of faith. And that's how spirit, the faith speaks. And this is only just one fulfillment of the Sabbath rest. There is still a second aspect. Because in this time, we're living in this age today where the Lord is coming back, we have to talk about this. Because the Lord did not give us an endless time. We heard in these few days in the Young People's Conference that God completed His work in 6 days. He finished that 6 days. 6 days, yeah. And at the end, let me draw a line here. At the end, when the work was completed, as God completed all His work, including Adam and Eve, Christ and the Church, when Christ and the Church were completed, He called forth a Sabbath day. Here, number one, Sabbath. And in total, we have 7 days. 6 days, God completed His work. And on the seventh day, He rested. It shows us the time, the age which we are living in today. We are living in a very special time. Do not think that we are living in a common and normal time. Our time is very, very special, because in this age the Lord is coming back soon. The Lord has given us, human being, mankind, a span of time in which He wants to complete His work with man in this creation here. In the 6 days He has completed His work, and just as it is, the Lord has predestined a fixed time to complete His work. And likewise, the Lord has given mankind a given time in which He will fulfill and complete His work with man. In Genesis, we saw that it was Adam and Eve. Today, for us, is Christ and the Church. Now, how long, how old is mankind? Let's draw an equal length of line, also the same division, line, timeline, but different name, different description. The Lord has given us 6,000 years. Starting from Adam, which we have heard yesterday, until today. Today is about 6,000 years. 6,000 years. Is it correct? 2,000 years ago, the Lord came, and 2,000 before there was Abraham, and before Abraham, 2,000 years before Abraham was Adam. So, 3 times 2,000, we have 6,000. It seems very familiar to us. There is 6 above and 6 below. What happens after God has given mankind this time? Then the time of Sabbath will come. But not just one day, just like the timeline above, but 1,000 years. This time of the Millennium Kingdom is the second fulfillment from the Sabbath, which was mentioned at the beginning. That means God completed His work in 7,000 years. God did not give us an unlimited time. We have 6,000 years now, almost over. Now it's just a question. When does the Sabbath start? When will the Sabbath start? When exactly, we cannot say. But we know that it's very soon. Today, we are just shortly before the fulfillment of Sabbath, which is a 1,000 years of kingdom. Don't think that we're living somewhere here. No. Or do you know Abraham? I don't think so. Are you? Do you know Martin Luther? I don't think so. You don't even know. I don't know who. Brothers and sisters. Do you know brothers and sisters who lived 50 or 60 years ago? No. In our time today, the probability is very high that the Lord comes back. His coming back is the start from the Sabbath. That's why, brothers and sisters, we have to give all diligence. Do not think that what we're speaking today is just a good interpretation of Genesis chapter 1. No, our time is short. Our time is short. Soon, the Sabbath year will begin the millennial kingdom. And then the question is, do you enter into that? Do you enter? Are you sure that you enter into the 1,000 years? Do not think that all Christians, all who are from people of God, will enter into the rest of God. Don't think. Tell me in Numbers 14, when the spies went into the land from this great number of people who were waiting before the good land, how many enter into the good land? 200? 2,000? How big was the congregation? We do not know how big. Let's say 2 million. Just like what Daniel said. It's not my word, it's Daniel's word. Let's assume the first generation is 2 million, I'm not sure. But just take it as 2 million. And just two went into the good land, Joshua and Caleb. From this first generation, from the first generation who waited before the good land, only two entered into the rest. Only two. Is that a lot? How many percent is that? How many percent? I don't know. How many zeros we need after the comma? After the point. Because Joshua and Caleb, they have other... Caleb has another different spirit. And they have a different spirit from the first generation, and they are the ones that entered into the good land. Do you think, all will enter? You will say, yes, the others were not Christian, or they were not Jews. Tell me, did they not all come out of Egypt? Did they not come out? The Lord even used this as an argument. Hey, I brought you out of Egypt. Do you remember, be reminded of the signs or miracles? The Lord mentioned Egypt. It means that they all came out of Egypt. Oh, no problem with Egypt. They came out. But they did not all enter into the good land. In the end, only two, the rest, Paul said in the 1 Corinthians 10, they were struck down in the wilderness. And most of them do not please God. This is a serious word. Don't think that it's different today. In principle, of course, it's different. But not all Christians don't think that, oh, you have forgiveness of sin, you are saved, yes, you are. You have the eternal life, yes, true as well. But it doesn't mean that you will enter into the Sabbath rest. It doesn't mean it this way. Sabbath rest is a reward for the remnant of God's people who were faithful as the others, the rest were unfaithful. Do not think that, oh yes, as long as I'm a Christian, everything is okay. I just need to live my life, and when I die, then I will enter into the rest. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, not. But rather, we have to exercise the spirit of faith. We need the spirit of faith today more than ever. And we have to apply it. We have to tell the Lord, I want to enter. I want to be a Joshua. Do you want to be a Joshua? Amen. Or a Caleb? Or do you want to be waiting outside because of disbelief where the other two were able to enter into the good land or into this 1,000 years? It's not good. That's why it's important, it's necessary that we apply the spirit of faith today. The Lord wants a generation, just like what we have saying, who will take this land. A generation. May the Lord really give us mercy, be graceful to us, that we are this who take hold of this land, who will enter into the rest. You have to tell the Lord, I do not want to stay outside. The land is very, very good, exceedingly good. Do not forget me, Lord. Do you want to be forgotten by the Lord? Are you sure? Rainer, do you want to be forgotten by the Lord? Oh, Lord, you have overlooked me. No, no. Then you have to tell the Lord, Lord, remember me. Exercise my spirit. I want to experience all that I've heard. And such a faith will bring you into the good land. Indeed, it's not your capability. It's not your big strength, your great strength or your talent, which will bring you into the good land. No, you have to apply and exercise the spirit of faith. I want to tell you today, if we want to enter into Christ, and if we enter into Christ as our Sabbath day today, and when we enter into the word which we have heard today, you go into it. You enter into these words, and today, if you do it faithfully before the Lord, step by step, point by point, then you will enter into this rest. This two going in is dependent on one another. You cannot say, today I'll do what I want, hallelujah, and after that, in the end, I can enter into this rest. No, it doesn't work this way. You have to already today enter into this reality. If you don't enter into the reality of Christ today, and if you don't exercise, and if you don't draw back, then you can enter. If you don't do that, then you will not. I'm 100% sure. That's why it's not just one fulfillment of Sabbath, but many, two, even three. That's why today is important that you really apply the spirit of faith. Do not bury your talent. Please don't go back and take your notebook and bury it on the earth, on the ground. No, but rather apply it, what the Lord has given you. We do not need to apprehend everything at one go. This good land, we cannot take it at one go. But you have to be willing and the desire, I want to take it step by step, piece by piece. I exercise my spirit of faith. Remember, disbelief displeases God. You have no excuse. You cannot say, I'm too weak. No. But you can say, I have the spirit of faith. This spirit, you do not need to produce. You do not need to take it from somewhere. He is in you. All that you need to do is to take it. Take the spirit of faith. Say amen to the word. Don't think that we have time, endless time. Take the spirit and say, Amen, Lord, now I enter into the sacrifices. Now I give myself for the growth of life. Lord, I give myself to shine as a moon. Lord, I want to build a church. Don't think that church building up the church is not important. No, it has a lot to do with the thousand years. We are building it today. Today, we build the church. Don't think that you do not need to build together. You have either tell you today the building of the church is decisive. It's very much connected if you were to enter into that thousand years. The Lord has done it in His wisdom. May the Lord give us such a feeling. We have received everything. Apply it. We have an unshakable kingdom. Lord Jesus, good. Now, to end the meeting, let's read Hebrews chapter 10. And then after that, you have to share. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read that all together. Maybe we know that, but let's read it in a new and fresh way. And think on the good land when you read that. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 to 29. 35 to 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have the need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Yeah, we are not those who draw back to perdition. Yeah, but we are those who believe to the